Welcome to Let's Do a Radio Bible Study, February 16th, 2022. I am Miss Inez, broadcasting to you worldwide. Every other Wednesday evening, Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough of Spread the Word Ministries out of Arlington, Texas, bring Bible study, and this evening will be the lessons of the Sermon on the Mount, Part 2. So if you missed last week, we have Part 2 this week. We'll have prayer, and then we will welcome the Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough. Thank you. I see we have Reverend Rodney. Are you there?
Yes.
If not, okay. Can you go ahead and pray, and then we can go right into Bible study. On the line, we have Reverend Eric and Reverend Lil on the line, and yourself. So that's who we have on the line thus far. So you can go ahead and pray us in. Reverend Rodney, are you have us on mute?
Can y'all hear me?
Now we can.
Can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. How's everybody doing? Hopefully
really
fine.
Good.
Let
Thank
us pray.
You yourself. Yes.
Doing great. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you, O God, for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you and study. Thank you, O God, for this opportunity to serve you and study. And God, we always acknowledge you for who you are. Indeed, you're God. You're God all by yourself. So we just want you, O God, to know that we honor you on this afternoon, O God. And we also ask forgiveness of all of our sins. We pray, God, that you would do the separating. Separate us from our sins once again. Now we pray, God, that you bless us as we open up the scripture tonight. That you bless us to get a clear understanding. Bless us, O God, to not only understand, but bless us, O God, to live out your holy word.
Yeah.
Use all of us for your glory tonight, oh God. Use all of us for your glory. And we pray now that you would continue to bless where blessings need to be passed on. And they need it everywhere,
Thank
oh God.
You.
We lift up the sick. We pray, oh God, for those who are in prison bars. We lift up those who are in the hospital, God. We just ask that you would touch all. Even go into homes, individual homes,
Thank
oh God. I heard somebody say, you don't have to tell God to go because God is already there. And that is true.
Hello.
Oh, manifest your place everywhere. Manifest yourself everywhere that we might see your presence. Lord, I pray for do it all in the mall. I lift up this podcast, this video broadcast, this internet
Thank
radio.
Thank you.
God, I ask that you continue to use it to touch the lives of so many. I pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that folk will hear. To teach and talk, preach word, and want to come to know you in a better way.
Yes,
thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, oh God. Thank you for your goodness. Again, thank you
thank
for
you.
Your grace.
Thank
you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen again. Amen. Yes. So these are your hands, Reverend McCullough, Reverend Rodney, because Sister hasn't joined us yet. So it's the three of us thus far.
Okay. Okay. Got my outline. Mm-hmm. We will be ready.
And somebody has a TV or something in the background that will need to be turned off or cut down, please.
I do.
Thank you.
I'm standing beside the copy machine getting this out. That's CNN.
Okay.
All right. All right. Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Lesson from the Sermon on the Mount. We've looked at the different phases of a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 5. We also looked at the Christian purpose. Verses 13 through 16.
Mm-hmm.
And we also looked at why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus Christ come? Verses 17 through 20. And now we are looking at anger, lust, divorce, oaths, and retaliation. And on the last, 2 weeks ago, we discussed anger. We discussed anger. Has anybody on the line gotten angry over the last 2 weeks? Oh, y'all, nobody don't have to answer. I'm sure nobody did. I'm sure nobody lost their temper over the last 2 weeks. I'm almost certain everybody did lose their temper at least once over the last 2 weeks since we met. So I think you did a good job with anger, and I think we completed our discussion. So we're going to move into what the Bible says about lust.
Okay.
So the sign is, if you will read verses 27 through 30, just three verses, and we will discuss those three verses. Lust.
And that's coming from where is it coming from? Because I see
Matthew 5, 27 through 30.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. 28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. 29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And how far do you want me to go? I'm sorry.
That's it. 27 to 30. That's it. So verse number 27. You have heard that it was said. And I always make a comment when the Bible says, you have heard it. And the comment that I often make is, don't always believe what you hear. Don't always believe what you hear. Now, we know when we talk about the Bible, we can always believe what the Bible says. We can always believe what the Bible references. But in general, a good practice is to not to always believe what you hear, what people say.
Right. Do that research. Get that research in.
Yup. Are we still there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Hello. Voicemail.
Look like a phone call came in on voicemail and twisted over. trying to get rid
of. Oh, goodness.
Anyhow, I'll keep it away. I got a voicemail call on hold, and the radio is the current call. So we'll keep going. Don't always believe what you hear, because people don't always have your best interest.
Mm-hmm.
They don't always have your best interest. They don't always have your best interest at heart. Don't always believe what you hear. Verse number 27. You have heard that it is said, you shall not commit adultery. Don't commit adultery.
Yeah.
What is adultery? Adultery is what? Anybody give a general definition? What's adultery? What's
adultery?
Adultery
is when one is sleeping with another outside of marriage, or when they married to somebody else.
All right. That's exactly what it is. And the Bible talks about do not commit adultery. I wonder why they threw that in there. I wonder why God threw that in there. I wonder if God thought that would be a problem. That's a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
Major problem. Do not commit adultery. Verse number 28. Verse number
28.
Verse number 28. But if I say that everyone who looks at a woman
mm-hmm.
with lustful intent has already committed adultery. Has already committed adultery with her where? In his heart.
All right.
So all you have to do is look. You don't have to go through with the act of. The Bible said if you look with the intent. Look with the intent. It has already happened. And where has it already happened? It's already happened in the person's heart.
Yes.
So we have to be careful about what our intent is, because the Bible says you don't have to get undressed. You don't have to find a bed to lie down in and go through the act of being sexual with another person. You can look at the person. So watch this. If you're in the mall, if somebody's in the mall today, and they look at a woman or a man, we got to know this goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at them and they have lustful intent. That's it. And the Bible says they have already committed adultery, not the act of adultery, but they've already committed adultery in their heart.
That's right.
In our hearts.
Yes.
So what are you saying? What are you saying? You said if I'll go into the mall, I start walking, I see a lady in front of me, and I said, "Ooh, she looks nice." And I go on about my business. Have I crossed the line, or did I not cross the line?
Well, you have to ask yourself the question. What did you say? She sure looked good. Whatever you said in reference to the woman, you have to ask yourself the question. Did I lust after her? Because I think that's the standard. That's the line. That's the line, right? Because that's what the Bible says. That's the line. It says
the line is the lust.
But
see, we don't want to leave. We don't want to leave people. You don't want to leave people thinking. Because if they look at someone, that's not lust.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We got to make it clear. We don't want to leave people thinking, if you look at them, that's lust. But that's not lust. Lust is when you start craving that person, when you start trying, the desire creeps in and you want to go further. And you start imagining what you could do with that body.
That's right.
Yes,
and that's why the Bible makes it, that's why the Bible makes it clear.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it clear. If you look with lust, it don't say if you just look. It says we look with lust.
Yeah.
You already said it.
Oh, you know, Rev. Rodney, you said that you always say don't believe everything you hear, but I look at that another way when it say you have heard. It said you already know not to commit adultery. You know, because these people had the Ten Commandments, and that is one of the commandments. So Jesus is saying you already know not to commit adultery, but I'm going to take it a step further.
Right.
If you look upon the woman, then you're lusting. You're committing adultery. You know, so he didn't take away and say that, you know, committing adultery was out of sync, but he added some more stuff to it. And like you say, Reverend Eric is saying, when you start formulating stuff in your mind about what you can do with that person, that's where the lust show up.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that clarification. And it looks like the standard, that's, okay, back then, it seems like then, if you had to commit the act of adultery. But the word is saying now, if you look with lust, you won't have done it. So it seems like the standard is higher. The standard is higher for if I look with lust, I've done it, as opposed to me having to go through the whole act of. So the standard is, it's probably more difficult to do what we are. It's probably more difficult to do what we are studying tonight.
That's right.
Because folks will look at somebody and they'll think, oh, they'll look at somebody with lust and they'll think, oh, ain't nobody know I'm lusting. She don't know I'm lusting. He don't know I'm lusting. So they
right.
they think, oh, well, I can get away with that.
God.
God knows.
Didn't you say God was everywhere? When you talk about God being everywhere just a few minutes ago in your prayer, he would know.
That's right.
Definitely.
And we know he would know.
That's right.
And we know God would know. And somebody say that. You know, and the thing about looking upon somebody with lust sometimes is it might not start out intentional. It might just move to that.
Mm-hmm.
It might start out as Reverend Eric just said. Well, he sure looks nice. Or she sure looks nice. It might start out like that. But if you, I've always said, don't take that second look, Reverend Eric.
Hey, I understand.
It's already the look. It's already the look when they're coming. But don't turn around and look when they pass. So that's the look.
Yes, right.
Good math.
You heard what I said. I said you look and you keep moving.
You
keep moving.
Look at the coming.
Just had the thought. I'm getting in on the conversation because I'm late. But anyway, just to piggyback on what I'm hearing.
That's that.
If you know that you got a lustful spirit, if you know you got that spirit, then it's best you don't even look. Just
that's
keep your focus on either the straight ahead, the ground, or whatever. If you even think you got that kind of spirit, you need to ask, first of all, I ask God to deliver you from it. But I agree 100%. If you ain't got delivered from it, and you're walking in the mall, or whether you by yourself or with your significant other, and you see one, a beautiful lady or a handsome gentleman coming your way, you need to ask the Lord, dude, right then and there, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. If you know you got that spirit, though, you know, you got to ask the Lord to forgive you. So, yeah.
And I'm going to give you all
a
definition for lust.
Amen.
I'm going to give you all a definition for lust from the Holman Christian Standard Dictionary Concordance. And it says, a strong craving or desire, especially sexual desire. That's what Reverend Leo was referencing. A translation of Greek, epithumia, desire, lust. The Greek term had a neutral sense to mean an earnest desire for something. So you can lust for other things other than a man or woman.
Yeah, human,
And
also a evil sense of lusting for earthly things. And there are so many scriptural references that we could pull up pertaining to lust. Now, did I hear you say something, Reverend Leo?
I was saying that wasn't, the other things are not pertaining to adultery.
No. I just made that point. Because this is clear that this is sexual.
Amen.
So go on. I just wanted to give you all the definition that I
gave. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for all those comments. We certainly can lust. We can lust after other things and it's not sexual. And thank you, Reverend, also for pointing out that that first look can get you in trouble. You know, as you mentioned, if you got a lustful spirit, if that's like a thorn in your side, then that you need to look away and look down, as he said, and I'm just reiterating that because that's so true. So the first one can get you in trouble. So here we go. It's a bad, I think, now watch this. As far as God is concerned, it's worse. It could be worse to commit adultery in your heart, where God is concerned, as opposed to actual act of adultery. Because I think God is more concerned about your heart. And so once you have lust and committed it in your heart, you never touched the woman, you never touched the man, but this thing has happened in your heart. I think that's major to God. Because he wants to have a pure what? He wants to have a pure heart. And if I'm looking and I'm lusting, I've already done it in a place that's supposed to be kept pure. So I think that's a major concern. Now, it's a concern as well if it's too far. You know, get undressed and get in the bed. But what it's pointing out tonight to us is that it happens in your heart. You don't have to go through the physical act.
Right.
It happens in your heart.
Man.
Well, if it happens in your heart, Rodney, if it happens in the heart, then will that be like taking place?
Yes.
In the physical.
I think so. Let me tell you why.
Will it be like taking part?
If it happens in the heart, will that be like taking place in the physical?
Yeah.
Because the word saying, if you take it from your eyesight and you put it in your heart, that lust is manufacturing something.
Yeah. So I believe, Reverend Eric, I believe it's worse. I believe it's really worse when it happens in your heart. Because now that it's in your heart, now suppose y'all follow me with this. Suppose a person had adultery. Suppose a person had an affair, they were married, called it adultery. But they had to act, and then they went on about the business. But suppose you get this thing down in your heart. Once you look and you lust and it comes in your heart, now it can manifest into something else. It can manifest into something bigger. It can be you. That spirit can now be in you, as the Reverend was talking about in the beginning. Now that spirit can be in you, and now you will be having a problem with lust until that spirit is out of you. So I believe when you look with lust and it gets in your heart, it could even be worse. And I believe God knew that. That's why he set the standard so high. You don't have to crawl into bed with a person just to commit adultery. Now I got a higher standard. If you just look at the person with a lustful intent, it's for you already sin in your heart. And now that moves you to another whole level when that sin has that sin is happening in your heart. That knocks it up a level. So
right.
I believe it's even worse when you look at a person with lustful intent and you sin in your heart. It could be any worse. And somebody might disagree because, well, no, I believe if the two people actually get together, nothing could be worse than that. But I'm submitting tonight that if you do it in your heart, it's even worse than the physical act.
Right. Well, we have a perfect example of that. That lust was with King David when he looked over the rooftop and seen what was going on at Bathsheba, and he started lusting for her, and then lust turned into murder.
Well,
first he had to deceive the man. He deceived the man. Then he murdered the man by putting him on the front line. He had to have premeditated thoughts about killing the man, and all that came from lust.
That's all that was in his heart. Is that what you're saying?
It started in his head.
Yeah.
He looked at the woman and he said, oh, I gotta have this woman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It started in the mind. It went from the eyesight to the mind to that heart.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. And there it is. And you're making it clear. Because when that lust, when he lusted and it got in his heart, that moved him to doing other sinful things.
Uh-huh.
All the way, as you already stated, that moved him to doing other sinful things all the way to taking a life.
And then you'd be trying to cover it up.
And they said the cover is worse than the crime.
Yeah, you're trying
to cover up. The cover-up is worse than the
crime. Uh-huh.
Y'all ever heard that? Folks say the cover-up is worse than the crime.
Yeah.
That's right. You got to cover it. You got to cover it up some kind of way. You got to hide it.
Yeah.
Trying to clear up your steps. You get in more trouble trying to clear up your steps. You know? Because one lie leads to one lie leads to another. Another lie leads to another.
All right.
In the heart, you know God's going to know about it, because why? You say he searches the hearts of men, so he going to know what you've done, no matter how you try to come to.
That's true.
So it's like, I believe that was Reverend Williamson that was speaking earlier, things like that happen. We need to be a big hurry as the Lord confessing. And ask the Lord to give us.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll share kind of a personal story. It's not that personal, but you often hear about pastors, I won't say often, but you have heard, or sometimes you hear about the pastor of the church ends up sometimes having affairs with the women in the church. Y'all ever heard that?
Yeah.
Over the course of your life.
Yeah.
Okay. I made sure, when I was pastoring for 18 years, I made sure, and you know, because I believe a lot of times women women in the church feel like they can approach the pastor because the pastor already opened that door. And the pastor said something that lets the person know, well, the door is open.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe a lot of times when that happened, it was because the pastor opened the door. I made sure that I handled myself in the utmost way dealing with women in the church. Even when I walked up to hug a lady in the church, I never hug in front. I always hug to the side. I always look eye to eye. I never let my eye drop down to their neck.
That's
right. So I knew maybe if I dropped down to the neck, it could drop further. So I made sure. I looked them in the eyes. I hugged them from the side. And in the whole 18 years, I never had a problem in that area. Nobody never approached me because I never opened a door. I never opened a door that would give them an idea that I would be okay with that.
Because
that's all it takes. All it takes is a signal that says, well, he or she might be all right. That's all it takes.
Come on in. There's a spider to the fly.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you get approached. Sometimes you get approached from out of nowhere. Sometimes it just out of nowhere, just somebody says something and you're like, what? Wait a minute. Where are you going with that? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
Let me get away from that. You know, you have to be on guard. Have to be on guard. I was in a church and I wasn't thinking like that. My mind was on trying to minister, and I was an associate minister, and the pastor, we had meetings on this kind of stuff all the time, and make sure we knew what was coming. But at the time that it happened, my mind wasn't on that. I was praying for people, and someone approached me like that during prayer time, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute, what was that? That ain't right. You know, you have to be on guard, because if you're not on guard, those kind of things will happen.
Reverend, you are so right.
So you praying
to us as women. Us
you praying for
women,
somebody and they.
Hold on.
They, okay.
Go ahead, Reverend.
You praying for somebody. And, you know, we at the church I was at, men pastors or reverends did not go around putting their hands on the ladies, okay? We would get another lady and have them to put their hand on the woman and pray for them. Well, I was praying for a lady, and she put her hand in the wrong place. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, hold up. This ain't what this is about. But you have to be on guard. If you're a pastor, it don't make a difference. If you're not a pastor and you trying to do right and do the will of God, the devil's going to test your points. He's going to test where you at.
That's right.
He's going to see if your mind is on the Lord. He's going to come at you in all kinds of shapes and forms.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, if you're not on guard, it's very easy to fall over into something you wouldn't expect it.
Right.
Because some ladies come to church to find a husband. Some ladies come to church to find a man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And vice versa.
That's right.
Men go to church to see if they can capture a woman.
That's right.
I never will forget him. It was a young man there. He said, I come to church to find me a woman. And I was like,
well,
hey, you didn't come for the Lord. You come for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say that. People say you want to find it. They said you want to find a good woman. They said you want to find a good woman, go to church. You want to find a good husband, go to
That's
church.
Right.
People have been giving that advice.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be on board.
I got to jump in, Reverend.
Go ahead.
I got to jump in.
Come on with
Not
it.
Just about being on guard with that. We have to be on guard with everything because, remember, the devil is roaming to and fro trying to devour whomever he will or may. And the thing that I want all of you as men to know is that the women in the church, I'm not talking about particular women, just in general, you will find that they have no shame. They come in with ulterior motives. And you got to always know that if you're a man in uniform of any sort, if you're a preacher of any sort, they're after you like white on rice, just because of who you are. And women just are different today. So you got to always be on guard. Men may be too, but I, like Rodney, you want to be careful how you are approaching people.
That's right.
If you're careful about how you approach people, the Holy Spirit will keep you with things decent and in order. But for the most part, we're like we are. We're in the shape that we're in because we've not been operating in the Spirit.
All right.
We've been operating in the flesh. And so that is what needs to stop. So, Reverend Eric, you said you gave some good pointers about, you know, the men praying with men and women praying with women. Now we got to deal with other issues on top of that as well. Because now you got people who are infatuated with the other sex.
Yeah.
Amen.
The same sex.
Amen.
So you have the same things going on. It's just different. But what we got to remember is that we are chosen by God and we are set apart. So we should let our actions demonstrate differently. And when the Holy Spirit is operating in our lives, the Holy Spirit will show us how to dress, what to wear, how tight you should have it. And I like something Rodney says to me all the time. He says, if you got to ask me how this looks, you already got a question in your mind about it.
Right now.
Okay.
So given that, his point is, if I'm not comfortable in it, irregardless of how I think it looks, maybe I shouldn't have it on. So we want to be clear about what it is. And I'll give you the example about the picture that Rodney and I have on the flyer that you see for Bible study. I have rushed to make sure I get another one because I was dressed appropriate for the wedding, and I didn't feel bad about that. But when I'm representing the Christian community, I want to be more covered. So I've got a different picture that will be out, and the flyer is done, so I need to send that to Ms. Inez. But anyhow, you know, we need to depend on the Holy Spirit with everything. And the point that I wanted to make about having it in the heart is this. Sin does not start as sin. Sin starts in the mind. So you have an opportunity to catch sin before you act on sin. And so what we do is we overlook the opportunity to rebuke that and get that out of the way before we act on it and it becomes sin. So this is why it becomes a problem.
That's good. That's good, Reverend Carol.
So I might want to look at the man. That's what I want to do. But when the thought comes to mind, I need to guard my mind and say, girl, turn your head back the other way. Our Holy Spirit helped me. And when that happens, then I know that the Holy Spirit has already shunned me, and I should not quench the Holy Spirit, but I should listen to the Holy Spirit. And many of us find ourselves in problems because we overlook what the Spirit is trying to tell us.
Yeah.
And go on with it anyway. And this is why we want to be saved for sure. And because all of us have thoughts of things that we don't like. But again, sin does not become sin until we act on it. Sin starts somewhere. And that's what the devil does. He looks for an opening in all of us. I don't care whether you're the pope, whether you're the rabbi, whether you're the bishop, whether you're the presiding elder. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
And we got to know that we are not exempt, and that's why the Lord wants us to keep humility in the forefront of us in everything that we do. We need to be humble before the Lord.
Amen.
That's true. A lot was said, and all of it made so much sense. One of the ministers that I consider my father in ministry, he's gone on to be with the Lord. Reverend Carolyn, I've heard him say this many times. He told me, and I don't want to offend any women that's on the line, and I knew he didn't mean all women, but he told me that women work for the devil. He said women are on the devil's payroll. And he said, I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful because women work for the devil. Many of them are on the devil's payroll. And he shared stories one woman would come and sit on the front row. And she would have on a short skirt. This was in his church. And she would have on any undergarment. And the woman would sit with her legs open while he's standing up preaching. Now, if you don't think that's from the devil, while he's standing in the pulpit preaching and looks out, that's what's staring at. And so I think that's why he was saying that the devil will use women as the devil use any of us in situations that could cause us to stumble. And so going into ministry, he told early in my ministry, he told me, you got to be careful. You got to always be careful.
That's right.
Always be careful how you interact with women in the church.
That's right.
Because they'll push you up on a pedestal and help you fall harder than you know.
Sure will.
And they don't mind for us as wives smiling in our faces and going the extra mile trying to be your friend while at the same time trying to be a part of your home.
My Lord.
Right.
Amen.
My.
So we have to pay attention to everything that's going on around us.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
29 and 30. Another comment? Come on.
I want to ask you a question. That preacher, did he have her to move off that front row?
He actually didn't tell me what exactly happened, but I'm sure something. I'm not sure how it was resolved.
Yeah, because she needed to be on the phone.
Ready?
Yes.
And this is where you're not guarding yourself, because when that's happening, you got to be bold enough to speak truth to people who are doing inappropriate things.
Right.
Or have one of the ladies of the church bring a lap cloth or something, or just remove
her
over
some.
Like I said,
ma'am, the dress is inappropriate today, and we don't mean to offend you, but the preacher is trying to preach and keep his mind on the Lord.
Right. If we have if a person has a pure heart, those aren't the ones that we need to worry about. It's the ones who don't have a pure heart that we need to worry about. Is that not correct? If you have a pure heart, you're already, I will say, quote unquote, exempt. Go ahead, Reverend Carol.
Well, the place where we get in trouble is that we can't determine who mm-hmm. has a pure heart and who doesn't. Because we don't want to cross over into what? Being judgmental. So you have to handle mm-hmm. each case by case.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't want to have a blanket thing where, okay, all the women on the front row need to have a laptop. Because that may not be the case. And then so if mm-hmm. I'm on the front row and I'm being appropriate, but somebody else is not being appropriate, when you mm-hmm. target me by giving me the lap cloth, we might be trying to give everybody a lap cloth to not offend that one particular individual. But we got to go
gotcha.
There. We got to pray to the spirit, and we got to handle everybody mm-hmm. gently, because it's also a teaching moment. And we got to get people to understand that everything, while everything may be lawful, everything is not expedient. So
gotcha.
We as Christians have liberty, but we got to operate in that liberty with discernment and keep everything in order, decent and in order, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Okay. I was just
wondering. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. but that woman, a person who does that is part of a bigger plan. Just sitting on the front
mm-hmm.
row with no
mm-hmm.
undergarment. Their plan, they're part of a bigger plan, because now what you have made a choice. You made a choice,
right?
So this is premeditated. You done premeditated this act. So this didn't happen by accident. It probably didn't happen by accident. Oh, I just end up on the front row. And I just happened not have on any undergarments. It all just fell
mm-hmm.
into. No, that's probably with premeditated. So it's a bigger sin going on than just sitting there, maybe in that
mm-hmm.
position. It's a bigger sin that person is going to have to deal with than just the fact that she's there on the front row, sitting like that. It goes deeper
Absolutely.
Than that. It's a bigger issue, because that's premeditated. That was thought
mm-hmm.
Thought about it, thought how I was going to do it, and then did it.
Well, see, let me give you all another thought to consider. During COVID, we couldn't hug anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said the Lord stopped a
mm-hmm.
lot of things that we have been doing in church, because there's been a lot of stuff going on that's been inappropriate for a very long time. And it's inappropriate as to how we embrace people. So the Lord just allowed the embracing to what? Be disrupted.
All of it.
So.
All of it. That's right. All of it. Side hug, front hug, side hug, no hug now. All of it.
And then
no need hug. Stay back.
The Lord was not pleased with a lot of things that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of every sermon I ever preached at Outland, I'd always say, hug somebody. Make sure
that's
you
right.
tell them
yeah.
that you love them. And before you turn them loose, make sure you tell them that God loves them too. I always say that after every sermon. Make sure you hug somebody before you leave. Tell them that you love them. And before you turn them loose, tell them also that God loves them. And that was a thing that everybody engaged in.
And that's the same thing with giving people the word. When you give people the word, they may not like it, but they can't do nothing but get mad with God and not you.
Mm. Right. You're just giving them information. That's right.
Thank you.
Wow.
Look,
all right.
Pastor, sometimes, by giving the word of God, you attract people. Certain kinds of people you attract just because you are filled with the Spirit of God. You attract those that you wouldn't normally come in contact with, and they want to be mm-hmm. under you or around you. They kind of like pull their way in to you. As close as you'll let them.
just because you are the preacher.
That's what I told you. I said women love ministers. Women love police officers. Women love military officers. Women love firefighters. Women love everything moving in a uniform. And now
Amen.
That you know that, you got to be ready so that when they come, you are ready a step or two ahead of them.
Amen.
Well, let's get on to the next couple of verses. Zionist, if you will read verses number 29 and 30.
29, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. 30, and if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell.
My Lord.
Can you imagine if we were living by that law, we'd see a lot of one-eyed.
No, we'd be blind. Everybody would be blind and handless.
Yeah. No eyes.
There's a movie out of something, and everybody says, you know, if you pluck one eye out because you offend somebody, you know, or something, or I can't remember what the whole thing is, but, you know, an eye for an eye, that's what it was, an eye for an eye. So, basically, you won't have no eye. You won't have a lot of things.
Yeah. God is merciful, right? That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right. So we got to find the sin source. We got to find the source of it. If your eye is the source of it, get rid of the source.
Right.
Get rid of the source.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what the word is saying. Find the source, deal with the source. And that's what they talk about in counseling and therapy and all that. Find the source and then deal with the source.
Right.
Because if you're dealing with the situation and not dealing with the source, you're not going to have very good results. If you're dealing with the act but not dealing with the source, You're gonna miss whatever the cure is for whatever you're dealing with. Find the source.
Right.
If your eyes are the source, then you
pluck
deal
it
with
out.
Your eyes. Deal with your eyes. Yeah, pluck it out. Tear it out. And don't tear it out and keep it. Tear it out and throw it away. For it is better. It is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body.
And so, can I ask a question right quick?
Please.
Is this figuratively and or literally? So, because a right hand could be a member, correct? I mean, a member like a church member.
Correct?
I think it's
literal. I mean, from what? For who it was written to when it was written.
Mm-hmm.
Others may think differently. And I think this is figuratively.
Okay.
I think when it was written,
okay,
they wrote what they meant.
If Reverend Rodney, if you have made it clear that lust is not from your, you know, from your head, but it's in your heart.
Yes, ma'am.
The heart, so we can't pull out our heart. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
If it's in our heart and God is dealing with our heart, then it literally or figuratively.
Ask the question again. Is it literally or figuratively if we're dealing with it in our heart?
Yeah, because the pulling out the eye, cutting off the hand, is that literally or figuratively, because God is in our heart.
I think it's literally. It's literally. Because he, remember why he talked in parables, was to make sure mm-hmm. we understood what he was trying to mm-hmm. get us to understand. And
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
it is literally.
So you supposed out yeah. your eye, if you lusting after, if you're a man and you lusting after a woman, or woman and you lusting after, you're supposed to pull out your eye?
But yeah, it's because he went on and gave it a step further.
But that's what I'm saying. I think it's, it has to visibly, if he's coming, if he's dealing with our heart, we have already established that the lust comes from the heart. So from our heart.
And what you're going to remember is that who knows the heart? The word says
and
no
God
man knows the heart except
heart.
God, right?
God
but
is
it's the heart that
will
condemn.
But I'm asking. God is
that's
dealing
telling
the
you
heart.
Is literally.
How will we be pulling out our eye?
Let me put it in
because
context.
The heart, he made it clear when he goes on to say, it's better to lose one of your members than to lose your whole body. Because the
that's
ultimate
it.
End of the body is the lake of fire.
That's it. That's
God,
it. Let me put it in context. If you look at the whole scripture in context, if you look at it in
right.
context, if you bind by saying, if a man what? Looks. How do you look? You look with what? You look with your eyes.
Your eyes.
Don't say a man.
Yes.
Okay, so what you gonna do if the man is blind?
Then he's gonna be guilty of seeing nobody.
Let me finish. If the man or woman is blind and they lust after a man or woman, what do they do?
They didn't lust with their eyes. If they couldn't see the person, they didn't lust with their eyes.
Because you blind don't mean you can't see because they can feel. Think about
well,
that.
I'm going to make provision for that too,
hold
Reverend
on, hold on. Let me show I understand this, Reverend Neal. If I'm blind,
I'm trying to understand it. How is it literally and not figuratively? If God is dealing with our heart, why would he want us to pull out our eye? I'm trying to understand that.
Well,
let me
go ahead, Rodney.
Let me try again. First, I want to understand the point that if I'm blind, I can't lust with my eyes.
That's
never
right.
Anybody else on the line? If I'm completely blind, I might lust in other ways, but I can't lust by looking upon a woman. I just can't do it because I can't see a woman. So
okay.
A blind person, as you,
but you
your
still
example,
know. I would still know if it was a man, I would still know he was a man by a lot of different ways. So
if I'm
lusting after that man and I'm already blind, I don't have no eyes. What happens when you say put out your right eye?
Whatever you lusting with. Whatever you lusting with. If you are a blind person, whatever was the source of your lust, you got to get rid of that. It may not be your eyes. Whatever was your source of lust, that's what you got to get rid of. And the fact that it says, would you want to enter? It would be better to enter with one eye than to enter this other place with both of your eyes. It would be better, and I'm going to say it this way. It would be better to make it into heaven with one eye than to go to hell with both of your eyes.
No.
And so that's why, as I put it all in context, as this was written in, now God don't expect us to pluck our eyes out now. That's why God changed it to saying, if you look, you've already done it in your heart. But I do believe that's when this word was written, that that's what it was intended. That's when the word was written years and years ago. That was the intent of it. That's not the intent of it today.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said, God deals with us in our hearts. Now,
why
Jesus Christ came Jesus Christ came and died, and now the standard is different, the standard is higher. Is it after Jesus Christ's death? We do that in our heart. But before, mm-hmm. I think they literally meant, take it out.
Okay.
And I think they literally took it out. Now we can look into some more.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
And
the main thing is that the
Lord knows everything about us. He knows whether we are blind or not. But what the main emphasis is that you need to not engage in sin, and sin has consequences.
Yeah, I got that part. I know that. I'm gonna have to study that some more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's
on the
line. Reverend Rodney?
What? Oh. Hold on. Can y'all hear me?
You there? Yes, we can.
I thought I was there, but I guess I wasn't.
All right.
I guess I wasn't.
Didn't know what?
All right, then. It's, should we proceed? It's 6 o'clock. We have covered less. The next section is divorce. Should we go forward or start that next time? Not sure how time works. Is it until 7 or 6:30?
We have another half hour.
Let's roll.
And we have until
7:30.
Until the half hour, I should say. And we have a lot of people on the line with us, so this is a good thing.
That's wrong. Divorce.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It's Reverend
Will.
How's everyone doing?
Good evening. Greetings to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. How y'all feeling today?
Doing
right.
Fine.
And you?
God bless all y'all mighty men and women of God. It's a new year. My first time calling, so please excuse me if I do anything wrong, but it's a new year, y'all. We back. Life is going. We have to push. We can't forget about God and not push.
That's right.
Amen.
I mean, it's been so much hardship over these last 2 years. We've been crying, looking at tears, and we have to get out of that crying stage and get back into going. God didn't give us a uniform and tell us to put on the first white robe to go do his business and to have us at home crying about yesterday. We got to move forward.
Mm. That's right.
That's all I have. I'm texting hundreds of people to come into this show, so I'm glad y'all stayed on.
Amen.
Good job for staying in the fight until you're done.
And, sir, what is your name again? What is your name, and what are the last four of your telephone number?
It's Pastor Don Jr., CEO. The last four of my number is 8882.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Queen. Mm-hmm. But I've been enjoying the conversation and topic. I have. I'm texting hundreds of people for them to come on in.
Amen.
Thank you. We may go another hour, shoot, if it's good. And then we have the
I
last four 2050. Okay. The last
that
four 2050.
Yeah.
Reverend
Christopher Wilkins. Good evening. What's good?
Thank you, Christopher Wilkins. And
amen.
And then we have, I believe, we have Sergeant Parks on the line, 1168.
Yep, I'm here. I'm just checking it out. It sounds good. I just didn't like the one statement that all women, I think that we got to go back and clean that up a little bit. I don't think all women go up in the churches like that. And then another thing about that is that, remember, back in the day when you went to church, you had some kind of form that you were going to go in. You weren't going to just go up in them churches and stuff looking any kind of way. You know, so that's
mm-hmm.
the only comment I got to
right.
make. So I'm listening.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
Thank you,
that's
sir.
Right. And I mean, let me
and
clear.
I think
let me
I
clear.
Might have said
let
something
me,
about, when I said all women. Go ahead. I think I might have said something about that. But I can clean that up, Sergeant Parks.
Oh, you already did, Reverend. I'm sorry. You clean. You guys cleaned it up, but I just didn't want the listeners to think about, you know, we're talking about all women, but I don't see enough young women actually, you know, going into the church. I don't want to scare them. You know, because they got that trying to wear them little old short skirts and they trying to just get out there and do everything. But I kind of think it starts at home, but I like the topic.
Well, and then we also have people who are going, but we want them to come, and we don't want to offend them, but we also are more careful not to offend God. It's God's house, and God desires holy people, and all of us are charged by God to present ourselves as living sacrifices for him.
Amen.
And so, but that comes with growth and learning, and what we want younger women to know is that we're not going to attack you. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit becomes a part of you, who will do all of the teaching and training and instruction that all of us need. So it doesn't matter
Amen.
How old we are or how
Amen,
young
brother.
We are. I heard somebody on the radio talking about older women wearing short skirts as well. That was in our prayer meeting this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it says, you know, come as you are, people need to have some scruples about themselves as far as how they come as well. Or someone, you know, some home training or something, which a lot of people
mm-hmm.
don't have. And as we spoke about
yeah.
earlier, you know,
yeah.
women come to catch men and men come to catch women. You could catch a,
yeah.
I'm just walking down the street. I was walking yesterday. I had on a long old sweatshirt and whatever, and I'm walking down the street. I was walking because I'm trying to buy a house, and so I walked around it 7 times. But anyway, that's another story. And, I mean, I meet more men at the gas station and just walking, but I'm not dressed like Hoochie Mama. You know, I'm dressed appropriately. And so you can meet people at different places. I mean, Walmart, at the gas station, just walking down the street. But I'm dressed appropriately, and I think they approach me because I'm not dressed like a Hoochie Mama. And so they respect me and respect who I am as a person.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And then Mark chapter 9. You don't have to turn to it. I'm just going to read it. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 43. And it reads, it says, and if your hand causes you to sin, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire,
verse number 45. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And then verse 47 is just what we read already. If your eyes cause you to sin, tear it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell. So we stop right there. Just wanted to read another scripture to support what we have been talking about for the last 40 minutes. All right.
And for those of you who don't know where we are, we're in Matthew chapter 5.
Thank you. Matthew chapter 5, and we're now at verse 31. Thank you. Thank you for that. We need to keep updating that as people come on. I need to keep updating that. Matthew chapter 5.
And now
we will be looking at verses 31 and 32. And the discussion here will be about divorce, looking at what the scripture says. I'm going to ask you again, Sister Inez, that you read verses 31 and 32 of chapter number 5.
Thank you. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. 32, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
All right, there you go. There you go. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say, that was then, this is now, but I say that was then whoever divorced him, give him a certificate of divorce. That was then, but now, but I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And not only that, but whoever married a divorced woman commits adultery. So what's the key here? What's the main point? The main point is what drives the divorce, right?
Yes.
That looks to be the main point here. It's divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality. That was the only permissible thing to divorce for, am I right?
That's it.
Yes, correct.
That sounds like what it's saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
You had to stick it out. You had to stick it out for everything else. You know, but today when I counsel and people and people come and talk about divorce, I tell them, when they tell me what's going on in the marriage, I say, the God we serve, suppose inside a marriage is a lot, not physical abuse, it could be physical abuse, but suppose it's just a lot of mental torment that the woman is going through or the man is going through. They're just being punished in their mind by their spouse. And they come in and I want to get it, you know, what should I do? I tell folks, the God we serve is not a God who want us to be living our lives within a marriage and be living in a marriage, but you're living like you're already living like you're in hell. I said, I just don't believe the God we serve would want to put us through that. Why would God want you to be in a marriage that's causing every day of your life to be a struggle? You don't even want to get up? That does not go with me and the God that we know. So what should we do? What should we do? And I don't ever tell folks unless they're physical danger to one or the other. I'm not going to say just get a divorce or whatever. I'm not going to say that. But think about what God would want for you. Think about what God would want for your life while you are here, while we are here in this world. And if we always try to attribute to the character of God, would God want me to be in a marriage where my wife is beating me every day? I flip the script. Huh. Would God want me to be in a marriage like that? I don't think so. That's not
I don't think
so. That's not
Mm-mm.
the God we serve. So they might say, well, if it ain't for, I didn't commit adultery. It wasn't for sexual immorality. Oh, she got to stick it out. I just get to stay here and beat her every day. She gets to stay here and beat me every day. Nobody committed adultery, so the beating goes on. No, no, no. To me, that's not the God's way.
Well, it seemed like whoever it would be would get counseling, right? You would tell them they need counseling. They need some kind of spiritual guidance.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, we don't want to leave them with nothing. If they in a situation where it can turn violent or turn to a point that someone in the relationship would come to harm, we should have some type of avenue for them to go down. We don't want to leave them empty-handed and tell them God don't want them to get a divorce. God don't want them to separate or anything like that. That would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That would be back on us. That would be our feelings, not God's feelings.
Yeah, you always want to lead them in the direction of help. And that direction has to start with God. And then whatever professional help that can assist you, yeah.
And God is love. God is love, and God expects for the man to treat the woman like Christ treats the church. And so we got to make sure that we're lining up with the word of the Lord. This is why you don't want to be in position to just put people together without giving them appropriate spiritual guidance. So just to marry someone that we don't know just because we have the privilege to do that, that is not wise.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to be inquiring about a person's physical well-being and spiritual well-being before we put them together. And so no matter what they're doing, there's still room for error, and emotional abuse is worse than or can be worse than physical abuse. Because remember what it was like when we used to be whipped as a child? If you came up in a home that believed in whipping, the whipping hurt at the time, but it didn't last forever. The same would apply when you're in an abusive relationship. That's physical abuse, but if it's mental abuse, it's just as bad. So we don't want to overlook the physical for the mental, because the mental is important as well. Rodney always joke and say, I do body shots so people can't see the the results of the body shot. Fighting me, and then I had a fall in December, and I still have the evidence of the remnant around my eye. And if you look at my eye, you think that he probably socked me real good. But I am not living like that. But it's also hard to live when you're being emotionally abused as well. And even with that emotional abuse or physical abuse, if you are Christians, we should be able to reason together and come together and work it out. But even if you can't, I don't believe God intends you to stay in a relationship that is not healthy.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And people get divorced on a drop of a hat. Instead of trying to work things out today, a lot of times people get divorced on a drop of a hat. And the vows say one thing, but, that's killing. Doesn't kill. But he said you want to be in an unhealthy place. But then you also can try to work through things. And is that all possible? Is that all possible?
Oh, amen.
That's what the Bible says about divorce. Give a certificate. You can't do it. You can only do it. And that's, and this is, again, if the reason is not sexual immorality, when this was written, then a certificate couldn't be issued. And so, as we fast forward to now, and then people can say, well, the Bible says we can't get divorced for anything except for sexual immorality. If you got to take it, you have to take it in context. Then that would be the case. But today, there are other reasons people can get divorced. And we already discussed some of them. If you're in an abusive relationship, that's going to be enough to get a divorce right there, because the God we serve don't want you in positions like that. Don't want us in positions like that. Now, that's what I'm hearing the Bible say. But you got to understand how things were then and how things are now. Things changed after Jesus Christ died. Things changed.
Mm-hmm.
We know that things changed after Jesus Christ died, because we didn't have to offer all the sacrifices that used to be offered in the Old Testament. Now all we have to do is what? Accept him as our Lord and our Savior. Accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And seek to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God. That's all we have to do now. So things are not the same now as it was then. A certificate had to be given, and it only could be given if somebody did something sexually wrong. Today, that's not the case. Any comments, questions, or concerns about what we are speaking about?
I have a question, Reverend.
Come on with it.
So, if, excuse me, if you are in a relationship and your husband or whoever goes forth to divorce you, I've heard now, and I want you to tell me if you heard, they always say if you, like, get married before you come to Christ, and then it don't work out, it's okay to divorce. You just repent of the Lord and let the Lord find your mate. So how true is that? That's not very true, is it?
Because
whether you marry before you come to the Lord, after you come to the Lord, you still married, right?
Right.
That's right.
And so
that's
people,
right,
word of God would be the same whether you marry before or after you come to the Lord. So you should not be getting divorced except for and my next question is, what's the difference between the fornication and the adultery?
Fornication, and y'all can, I know a lot of people can jump in and help me with this. Fornication is just having sex unmarried.
Okay.
Adultery is having sex while you're married to somebody other than the person you're married with.
Okay.
How close did I get?
Would fornication, would it connect to
fornication
anything?
Fornication is just having, fornication is having sex before you get married.
Yeah, I'm asking, would fornication connect to anything else, or is it just pertaining to sex?
Sex?
It's just pertaining to sex.
Okay.
You agree?
Hello?
So, here's fornication, term for various acts of sexual immorality, including any sexual act outside of marriage, especially prostitution, used figuratively of idolatry.
Idolatry. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
question.
It has two different meanings. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I heard a slip of doctrine in there too.
Huh?
And I know
we have a dream.
I heard a slip. I doubt you in there too. So
yeah.
That would lead to think.
Mm-hmm.
I think she read earlier that it only pertained to sexual stuff, right, Reverend? And then we're going to get that question in. I think when you are reading,
the
you should
term
point.
For various acts of sexual immorality. Various.
But I heard
more
it.
Than one.
Yeah, I heard it.
Including any sexual acts outside of marriage, but especially prostitution.
Yeah, I heard her say that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then she said,
keep reading. Keep reading.
Thanks.
Use figuratively.
Oh, idolatry. Sometimes.
Idolatry.
They had sex with those idol gods, did they not?
I'm not
sure.
Animal gods.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Let me get the question.
Statement, please.
Somebody wants to ask a question.
Yes, I do. I'm a question. I had a statement. I had a divorce, but my husband left the Lord and divorced me. I did not divorce him. And according to the scriptures, it says, when an unbeliever wants to leave, let him go.
Right.
Okay, that is another reason of divorce. Because he left the Lord. And he was leaving me and wanted a divorce. I was crying. I didn't want the divorce. But God showed me that scripture saying, when an unbeliever wants to leave, let him go. Had nothing to do with the sexual thing. It had to do with his relationship. In fact, he still doesn't serve the Lord.
And that is why the relationship is important, to categorize it in the spiritual as well, because the marriage is of God, and God told us that he wants us to be married, and he wants the man to treat the wife a certain way, right? And the only thing he gave the wife to do was to love the husband. So you were loving your husband, and he chose to leave. So let him go. There are blessings in addition and subtraction. So,
and I have gotten remarried since then, but my husband that I have now, his first wife, died of cancer. And I felt that I was free to get remarried because I did what God told me to do in the first place.
And you are,
which was
because
that's
the word you said. Yes, you're correct. You are correct.
Mm-hmm. And my husband, my husband is a Christian. So I'm not unequally yoked or anything. But I did want to make that statement since you guys were talking about marriage and divorce, because I didn't want the divorce. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried, I fasted, I prayed, and then God showed me that scripture. He's leaving me. It's okay for you to let him go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so idolatry is image or form representing a divine being and thus an object of worship. Biblical terms, image, either cast or graven or carved, statue, abomination. Both testaments condemn idols. And so Genesis 31:19 is going to talk about us having no other gods besides him. And so when we're worshiping other gods and anything that takes priority over our God becomes idolized.
Right.
So thank you. I just want to share that. And it's good to have Bible dictionaries to share the interpretation of the scripture. So that's why I'm doing it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me see.
I'm trying to go to First Peter 3, see what it says. First Peter 3:1-6.
First Peter 3.
Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word. You got it again. It was 1 Peter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without, and that's W-O-N, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Verse number 2, when they see your respect and pure conduct, do not let your adoring be external. The braiding of the hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, clothing you wear. Let your adorning be hidden. Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle, quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy woman who hope in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So, I don't know if that added more help or if it confused us more, but I just went there. I went there after I left. Yeah.
So a lot of stuff was going on where women were out of order, which I would say that would be no different than if I'm sitting in the church trying to entice the person who's trying to speak the word. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It could be anybody who's speaking the word, you know? And so we want to make sure that we're doing everything decent and in order at all times.
Amen.
And we have help to do it, so that's the good part about it.
Yes, it is.
Man.
Yes, it is. So as we close our discussion on divorce, we're not going to get into oaths. We'll get into oaths and retaliation in 2 weeks. Then probably move on to the next section in Matthew. We're going through Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so all of these chapters talked about the sermon that Jesus preached. And so we're looking at those three chapters, and we will go until we complete them and decide what the next teaching will be. But if you want to read ahead, we'll be looking at chapters 5. 6 and 7, and when we come back in the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking at verse 33 through verse 42 in Acts chapter 5. And once we get done, we'll probably go a little further if we get done with that. But remember, we are in
Matthew chapter 5. Mm-hmm.
And we also will be extended into chapter 6 and chapter 7 before we get done. If you want to read through entire chapter 5 to catch up, then you will be almost right where we are. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, let me ask this. Are there any more questions, comments, concerns?
We want to do an invitation.
Go right ahead.
This is Reverend Carolyn, and I'm asking, is there anyone on the line who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior and want to do that tonight? We have the opportunity to do it tonight, and we can do that right now. And if you're on the line and you want to set, to give your life to Christ, will you please just speak up and say, yes, I'd like to do that?
Amen.
Tomorrow, not promised to any of us.
Oh, no problem.
And we want to be ready to meet Christ should he come.
That's right.
Or should the Lord decide that it's time for us to come home.
That's right. That's when you go meet him. You're going to either meet him when he comes or you're going to meet him when he calls.
And the bottom line is those two things are true. He will call and he will come.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to be ready.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Hearing none, mm-hmm. I'd like to pray a prayer of recommitment for all of us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this night's study. We praise and bless your name. We thank you for every person that has called in and are listening in. And we ask now that you will bless every person with a thousandfold blessings, oh God. We thank you that you will continue to care for us and take care of all of our needs. And we thank you for supplying all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you, oh God, that you have given us access to everything that you've given Jesus. And so we ask now that you would continue to fill us with your spirit and help us to grow up every day in a greater way as we are drawn to you. We thank you for these studies, and we pray that lives are being changed. And I think that if we, not I think, I know if we practice what the word teaches, all of us will be changed. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for making this change possible. And we say thank you, God, for everything. And good night. Amen. Reverend Ronnie, you may come.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Lord, we thank you for this study. We thank you, O God, for the many who have joined us, and we pray now a blessing, and we speak and pronounce, and we pray a blessing upon everybody's life. We ask, God, that you would lead, God, and direct us into all truth. We pray now, God, that even tonight that you would bring rest, sweet rest to all of us, and that you would allow us, O God, to be alive in the morning, if it's your will. And, O God, I pray that you'd all call all us to say thank you, Lord. You are good. And so we pray now that you will continue to provide and continue to bless as only you can. But we also pray that you draw all of us closer, that we might come to know you in a better way and have a closer walk. Thank you for this platform, Do It All in the Mall. Thank you for Sister Ida. Thank you for the others who work behind the scenes, oh God, if any. And we thank you for all of the listeners. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen and amen again.
Amen. And we want to thank you and every one of you for joining us on this Wednesday Bible study. And you can listen to any of the episodes of Let's Do It Radio found on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. Or if you want to be contacted by this, any of the speakers, you can email us at our new email of Let's Do It Radio, LetsDoIt Radio at gmail.com. So if you all would please bow your heads at this time and repeat after me. May the Lord watch.
May the Lord watch.
Between me and thee.
Between me and thee.
While we are absent.
While we are absent.
While we are absent.
One from another.
One from another.
One from another.
So I want you all to be blessed, stay blessed until we meet again in 2 weeks at Matthew, the 5th chapter. And thank you again from the worldwide Let's Do It Radio listening audience. Amen, amen, and amen.
How many call-ins did we have?
About 13.
Wow, that's good.
Thank you.
About 13 callers. Don't know how many listeners, but about 13 callers. So that's wonderful.
Amen.
That is really, really wonderful. So we really appreciate each and every one of you. So what you all need to do is those who are listening and still on the line, you need to contact somebody and bring them in with you, just like you, if you were at church. Go out, sow the seed, and bring them in so we could have even a more, a more rambunctious Bible study, and we can get to more and more souls. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else have anything to say before we sign out? Consent being none, thank you.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Amen. Have a